dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, coming to you this week after a week ago, Jeremy, where we were doing the two shows, the baseball preview and the softball preview for the SVC come tournament time. And of course, I'm joined again by Jeremy Ward this week, as I always am throughout the spring. But before I get you involved here at the first question, Jeremy, I want to take a minute just to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, as well as to all the mothers throughout the Cider Valley Conference. Hope you've had a wonderful day. And, you know, Jeremy, as I welcome you to the show, I just getting a lot of feedback from last week's tournament shows, and some positive, some a little negative in terms of maybe not agreeing with us, but all in all, we love the feedback regardless. And just as I welcome you to the show, just some of your thoughts on the feedback and your thoughts moving forward as we get ready for tournament time.
Well, Shane, I'll echo that. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there listening, and hope they enjoyed their day. Avoided a few rain showers, and hopefully got to spend a lot of time with their families, maybe not involving sports as they do throughout the rest of the week. But I'm sure some of them found their way to the ballpark today, as my girl's mother did. But I tell you, I really enjoyed the conversations that we had last week for the baseball and the softball tournament previews. Hopefully, you know, it looks like we've got a great agenda today in terms of feedback and some of the questions and some of the intrigue sparked by our conversations. And, you know, again, that's what this show's all about. We don't want to just come up with the topics. We want to be driven by the audience and their participation. And we appreciate that feedback. And I think it allows the show to continue to grow and be something that people want to turn on and listen to week.
Well, Jeremy, I think that's well said, and I do think we have a great show this week. We have really fun emails that should allow us to talk about a lot of student athletes throughout the league. But first, we respond to some of the fans who had a lot to say from our tournament shows last week. Well, you can tell it. Well, Jeremy, I tell you, the bump selection there to start the show makes me think of the NFL draft, and I'll be the first to say, boy, am I glad that's over. That's just crazy television. It's terrible. I mean, I'm a huge sports fan, and I'm the first to check out to see who got who, but I could do without all of the hoopla and all the wall-to-wall coverage. But enough of that. Let's go back to SVC Sports. So we had an email asking us fair, unfair, coming right off of our tournament shows, Jeremy, and it said, based on overall records and just watching various scores. Actually, the email even went on to say, based on kind of getting a feel for the way we were talking last week, which I thought was interesting, said SVC softball is in for a much better postseason than baseball. So I'll throw that at you first here. As you kind of follow the softball more, this person seems a little bit more optimistic on the SVC softball side. Fair?
Well, based on overall records, that's a fair statement. I think furthermore, like we talked last week, softball has more district qualifiers, which is going to provide better opportunities for postseason success. And, just being able to spread out into three sectionals in Division III, five different sectionals overall, when you look at that, just, you know, doing the math, you have a better shot. But, looking at this softball, probably the most impressive thing, and I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, is just the success outside of the league. When you've got two, three teams in the league that you know really haven't lost or have only lost one game outside of the league, and that just I think says a lot about you know our hopes for the postseason.
I guess if I'm being objective as a baseball person looking at it, I think that's a pretty fair statement. I mean, softball has some really solid pitching. They have a really good, especially top half of the league here. And as they go out into, like you said, the different sectionals with an opportunity to take a lot of avenues to the regional, if you will, I think that's a fair statement. I guess the one place I would jump to the defense of baseball, and Jeremy, maybe tell me, I'll ask you to take your softball hat off for a second, just kind of return to your days of being a varsity coach going into the tournament. See if you follow me here as I defend baseball a little bit. Sometimes your overall record, or even your league record for that matter in baseball, can be dictated so much by the rain and the schedule and your pitching staff and how much you're overworked. And, you know, now that you get to the tournament, it's what I've always referred to as my tournament lineup. And you're putting your very best product on the field, as is your opponent. But nonetheless, you're putting that number one guy out there, you know, usually on pretty good days or normal days rest. And in worst case scenario, you're going to go a couple arms deep. So that sometimes can lead into a better situation. Would you say that's a fair argument for baseball in return?
Well, absolutely. And I think that is the biggest difference. You know, in softball, you know exactly what you're going to get night in and night out. For the most part, you're going to have the same pitcher, which is going to dictate your lineup with consistency. And, you know, with baseball, I think you look even maybe with a basketball comparison to, you know, the selection committee for the NCAA when they look at the last 10 games. I think that's an important thing as well. You know, you know how bad the rain and the weather affected games early in the season. You know, some teams played a bunch that week, some teams didn't and got behind the eight ball, having a wet second week of the season. So, you know, there's a third of the season where, you know, maybe you can throw those records and those games out the door because, you know, you weren't able to put your best lineup on the field, so to speak. So, yeah, I think you have to you have to look at baseball with a much more critical eye as far as looking at matchups and looking at the success that certain teams have had with their best lineup on the field.
Well, I think that's a great point, and I think, again, it's extremely fair when you look at the success softball's had in the postseasons in the past with a lot of these same kids, and you look at where they're at as they enter this year's postseason. I think that's that emailer is making a fair statement. And I think baseball, I'll go back to what I said last week. I think baseball is probably more of one of those situations where a lot of teams are dangerous. A lot of teams are young, and now they have an entire year under their belt of experience for some of those young kids. Right. They have some of their top arms ready to go. And I think even though that's very fair for softball, I wouldn't count some of the baseball teams out as we move over the next week. And, you know, with that said.
Well, Shane, I jump in real quick. And the other thing that comes to mind, you know, in that discussion is the fact that, you know, what are you calling successful? In a lot of ways, you might say that, you know, there are higher expectations for the softball. But, sure. You know, how are you measuring success? Because there are a lot of teams that have an opportunity to have a successful postseason. That may not be a regional appearance or a Final Four appearance, whereas other schools may be really looking at things and saying, man, we have a shot at a regional title. So your expectations play a role in what you're deeming successful.
No, I think that's fair as well. And, you know, Jeremy, we'll have plenty of time in the upcoming weeks here to talk tournament. But for now, we turn our attention to the end of the regular season. Up next, Jeremy will take the lead, and we will respond to an email about the elite SBC baseball players in 2014. We'll be right back.
Well, Shane, the Edina Warriors are back on top as they win the outright title and do it in convincing fashion, as Marty Brenneman would say. And our first email is kind of piggybacking that thought. They wondered about your take on my Warriors winning the league by 5 games. That is crazy. That would have to be a league record or close to it. Is that the most dominant league champion you have seen in a long time in the SVC?
Well, I mean, it's certainly something to make you think for a second. Anytime you run away from a league by 5 games, that is very impressive. Usually you have that second, third place team that kind of, you know, go ahead and they beat up on at least the bottom half of the league, and they're hanging around there 2-3 games late into the year, where really by the, league game 8 or 9, the thing was pretty much over, and they just continued to go with their depth. I've said it before, they're by far the best team. The most ways to win, you know, in terms of, you heard me talk about it before, they're so impressive how they can beat you with offense, they can beat you with some speed, they can beat you with pitching. Last week when I had a chance to see them, they just turned in just an outstanding night of defense, a couple, 2-3-plus plays all over the diamond. Their outfield plays outstanding, which is just a bonus at the high school level. So, again, with a lot of parity in the league, you add in some rain and you add it all up, and what you have is a very good team just kind of running away and hiding. So, yeah, it's hard for me not to say, as far as dominant in terms of SVC history, I'd probably have to go back and, you know, do a little bit more homework and look around a little bit. I would think that I know a lot of years a team that maybe, you know, they didn't win it by 5 games. Maybe we've had some better teams in the SVC in the last 5-6 years. But again, in terms of dominating the single year that they're playing in at that time, yeah, the 2014 Edina team's definitely going to go down as one of the more dominant teams.
Just another quick comment off of that. You know, as you look at the Valero standings on the boys' side here for baseball, you know, you have your top team, Edina, with 14 wins, and then you have your last place team in Southeastern with 12 wins, which just gives you a little indication of the craziness that we saw from start to finish. And, you know, you do have to congratulate the Warriors for being able to weather all the everything that came at them, whether it was the other teams, whether it was the weather or what have you. But you know, I think it's equally impressive that you look down at the bottom of the standings and you see two teams with 12 victories. So, you know, we kind of go back to the tournament success for baseball, and you have to believe that nobody really wants to play anybody coming out of the SVC.
Well, I think that's fair. And you know, the one thing, Jeremy, the SVC is usually known for the conference that'll show up at the draw with the most games played. And, you know, they'll usually push the 27. I know that's something Ron Allen of Zane Trace, obviously big time successful coach, well over 300 wins. I know kind of as a mentor, if you will, I know he and a Tony Taylor at Unia, they taught me a lot about, you know, make it a legitimate season, play your 27 games. And I know I look this year, the rain really hit some of the SVC teams. You look down through there and not a lot of teams was able to push the 25-26 game mark. I know, Paint Valley played 26, Westfall played 26, and then a lot of other teams are down, and Edina only plays 18. So, you know, I know it's just been a crazy year weather-wise, and but again, I think when you get to the tournament, all weather aside, and, you know, weather can still impact what night the games are played, but when it all comes down to it, you're going to put your very best tournament lineup on the field. And if you lose, it's because, you know, you were just simply outplayed that night.
Absolutely. Well, Shane, we had another email, similar topic. Shane, it is probably unfair for you to give your all-league selections on the show because you do vote in the actual coaches' vote. I was just wondering if you could break down or analyze how you thought the vote played out. Tough decisions, first team to second team, after top six guys, final three guys, etc. Thanks, love the show. Very cool what the website does for our league. Really unmatched throughout Southern Ohio. So we definitely appreciate that email and the compliments for the efforts that Shane puts forth. And, you know, again, with the goal of just recognizing the athletes in the Scioto Valley Conference, I think this email is a great opportunity for you to do a little bit more of that.
Well, I will. And first, let me throw in there too, Jeremy. We definitely appreciate that on the website. And I think Jeremy's being a little modest there. I think Jeremy deserves some credit there too. Jeremy puts a lot of hours into preparation and talk of the SVC and for the show and doesn't get a dime for it, just wants to do it to promote the league. So I know as someone that does the website, I'm on my own there with a little help from my brother Matt. I know I appreciate your efforts as well. But, you know, Jeremy, as I look at this email, you can tell it's a very professional type of email, someone sending it in with a lot of knowledge of what's going on. You could just tell by the way they worded it. They are correct. I don't know that it would be fair for me to come on here and say, here's exactly how I voted in the official vote. But at the same time, I have no problem with discussing the overall viewpoints that I had and how I went about trying to honor kids in a fair format. You know, when I break down the league, Jeremy, when I go to vote, and this is me doing my all-league teams, say, back in volleyball or boys basketball, girls basketball on the website, or if it is me as a coach going in to vote, I always try to get what's my overview of the league. And I guess my overview of the league with Adina winning, as we just said, by five games, you know, obviously, Nadine is a dominant team, and I start to ask myself, okay, why? Is it because of, you know, this or that or whatever? And I start to put that together. Well, then I start to look over the course of the entire league, and I start to get a feel for how I'm going to disperse my selections throughout the eight teams. Now, if I was in the actual room, I can't vote for my own Paint Valley kids, so just kind of go with me here and follow me. So the way I'm going about this is I'm thinking to myself, okay, Adina definitely, in my mind, has three of the top nine players in the league. Yeah, in my opinion, I think they have three first-teamers. And then I think if you were to stretch this out to about a top 30 type of player, I think just about every Adina starter would be in there. Uniota, the second-place teams, a lot of the same way. I think if you were to stretch it out 25, 30 kids, you'd see a lot of their depth that comes about. You know, those two teams – with their pitching, I know in scouting them, I'd watch some of them in a doubleheader on you know, other games, and I would see like two, three different arms go out there. I'd be like, well, wow, I didn't even know that kid pitched. He's pretty good. You know, and before you know it, you've got five, six arms they can throw out there. So in the all-league, I look at Adina as being obviously the elite team. They're guaranteed a three, four spots, in my opinion. And then I start to look, there's so much parity. I cannot remember a year in 15 to 20 years of being around any sport of the SVC, this much parity between 2 through 8. So in my opinion, 2 through 8's probably for the first time in a long time, if ever, probably going to deserve two kids. So if you do the math, you kind of get yourself in a situation where you have every team fighting for that extra kid, if you will. So I guess that's kind of the way it goes. You know, a lot of years you've heard me say, I don't really know that a last place team deserves anybody. Well, this year, you know, I think Southeastern's a really good baseball team. I really do. I think they have a couple all-league kids. You know, if you're just asking me my opinion, I think both McKee and Dye are honorable or are very deserving of all-league selections. And then they probably even got a couple other kids that deserve at least some honorable mention in terms of the way the Johnson kid can swing it. You know, I know I'm being a little bit biased, but, you know, Paint Valley, us being a couple games out of that second place spot, nonetheless, I think, you know, Anthony McFadden's a really talented player. You know, Tegan McFadden, Mason McCloy, and Mark Clifford, all of those guys are very capable of at least being in the discussion. You move up the standings from the bottom there. You know, Huntington has a couple seniors and Sarver Kello that have been really good for a long time. You know, Piketon sneaks into the standings there a little bit with their win over the weekend. I know they have two, three guys that have come off of winning in their career and have continued to be successful with Fremder and Collier and Jordan and, you know, Zane Trace, same way. I know Henny, and I think the Swackhammer kid's really, really good. So, you know, if I'm just giving my opinion, that's how I kind of try to sort it out. So probably what happens is I come up with about 21, 22 names, and there's 18 slots to give. So at that point, I've got to go ahead and I've got to try to eliminate. You know, obviously, if you can only pick 18, you know, not everybody can make it. So I guess I look at it as if I'm giving my opinion, I think Adina's dominance starts right at the battery. I think their senior-led battery of the Harper kid behind the plate and Shepherd on the mound, I think that's where their dominance starts. That's probably how I would personally go about it. And then from there, I would start to try to sort all that parity out throughout the league in terms of trying to figure out, okay, here's the two or three best players on each team. How am I going to disperse them into the slots? And then with it, like I said, with Adina, you're going to try to take care of the league champion the best you can. But I think, again, Adina has those two dominant kids at the top. They have another first teamer in Kunkel. And then from there, you're talking about another 6, 7, 8 kids that are probably in the top 30 of the league. As far as how many will get into that top 18, it's hard for me to say. But that's about how I would balance the league out. And I know, Jeremy, you follow a lot of different sports. It's probably unique in that sense, but to me, the parity probably deserves more individuals from all the schools to be honored this year, where that's not the case in a lot of sports and a lot of seasons. Just your thoughts maybe in response to all that.
Well, Shane, I think that's a very detailed explanation and rundown of, you know, basically what the league has to offer. And, you know, it really catches my mind as you look down through the standings, as we talked earlier, and really scrutinize some of the players and what they have to offer. Anytime you have the parity 2 through 8 in this case this year, there's definitely going to be, you know, 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10 kids in the mix for those last couple spots. And again, not nearly as easy to distinguish as maybe some of the top players last year, where you had a lot of people fighting for those last couple spots. You know, like you said, you know, there's a handful of no doubters perhaps, but overall, you know, the balance 2 through 8 is going to create, I'd say a great deal of discussion, and there's probably going to be some people disappointed and, you know, potential arguments, maybe for 4, 5, 6, or more kids to find a spot on that second team.
Well, I think that's what we love about SVC Sports Talk, as well as the website, is how we can get so many different kids recognition and get them talked about a little bit and get them into these discussions. And fans, I know you have opinions as well. You can let us know at admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can also call 740-569-3254 if you want to be heard on SVC Sports Talk. Well, Jeremy, I'll tell you what, in the next segment, we had somewhat of a similar email about softball that I will have you respond to. So, fans, stay with us as Jeremy talks SVC softball in 30 seconds. Well, Jeremy, Bruce going a little old school there on us as we get to about the halfway point of the show. I'm sure one of our longtime listeners, one Chris Eldridge, is out there listening. I'm sure he appreciates that selection as we go into the softball here.
No doubt. And you know, Mr. Eldridge is he's starting to become quite the softball fan. So, you know, he probably is listening
right?
In the spring. Yeah, because I don't think he listened to the spring shows before, but I think he's a dedicated listener now.
Well, the spring shows will make him a little bit more well-rounded. That's good for him. I'll tell you what, this next email jumped out at me as one I wanted to, you know, in the last segment there, you're kind of throwing the baseball my way, and I was trying to give a detailed rundown. And I thought it'd be interesting for our softball listeners to get that same type of breakdown from you. The email says, I had a question for both of you for the podcast. Should all league return to the old system of selecting by position? Also, I would love to hear Jeremy's take on the top players in softball this year. What are his thoughts on the factors that will play a part in who makes the top 18? And I guess, Jeremy, I wanted to start there more in the second half of the email. You can even touch on the first one if you would like in your breakdown. But I would just love to hear your breakdown in terms of some of the factors that are going to go in this year to getting this top 18 selected.
Well, I think some of the biggest factors, you know, you look back at the shows we've done thus far this spring and, you know, pitching and the league standings, I think, are the two biggest factors that come into play when you're looking for all league. You know, I think we've spoken time and again about the depth of talent, especially in the circle in this conference. But at the end of the day, somebody has to wind up on top and somebody has to be at the bottom. So that's got to play a little bit of a role in where kids end up on the list. Much like volleyball, I think any young lady that makes this list in any way, whether it's first team, second team, or honorable mention, has got to be considered, quite a ball player when you look at some of the talent that we have. So, I don't think that I would be too disappointed if I slipped to the second team or even an honorable mention slot, because, honestly, the way that we do the all league, and I'm not sure that there necessarily is a better way to do it. I think every way that I think every league kind of has certain aspects that they complain about. But at the end of the day, you go with the system that you have, and in a game dominated by pitching, that's really what you're going to see, littered at the top of the list. And, in fairness, it's such a huge part of the game. I don't think that you can really take that out of the equation. Referring to the earlier part about, should we go back to going by position, that's an interesting point. I know you and I have had discussions in the past, and I know when I'm trying to evaluate players, one thing that I look at is I try to judge their spot, as they rank at their position. So, obviously a lot of that time spent with the pitchers, but as you go down through, maybe not specifically as the outfield position, but, how do players rank in terms of, the top two or three shortstops, top two or three outfielders, that sort of thing, and top two or three catchers in the league. And I think there's where you can build your list. So as I look through that, I'll just kind of give a rundown of what I was. It's kind of funny we got that email, because I was, writing some things down last week just to try to start compiling a list. And, with your pitchers, just based on what they've done this year, I think Morgan Geno tops the list at pitcher. Brooke Blevins has been outstanding. Michaela Newland, even though she's only pitched, part of the conference schedule, has been very dominant. And then you've got Gina Rochert, who, led her team to the to the championship. And regardless of what you face night in, night out, at the end of the day, she only got beat one time. And you cannot take that away from her. So, I think you can make an argument, and there are a lot of other players, but, that's going four deep. So, just to pick a one spot all league pitcher, how fair would that really be? Catching, I think Reagan Stonerock is an outstanding catcher. Rachel Wright from Unita, even though last year I think she's one of the better outfielders in the league, moved behind the dish, and she does a really nice job behind the plate, an athletic kid. Good quick release. And Casey Zimmerman from Piketon, I think, is a very good catcher. And you have three very different styles there, but kids that have proven they can control good pitchers and be productive not only at the plate but in the field. And, I think at that point, if you look at your infielders, this is where it kind of gets tricky. I think as purely a fielder and a hitter and a non-pitcher, you got kids like Kayla Tackett at shortstop, Emily Ward at first base, that are very, very good at their positions. I think it's a little more difficult as you move into second base, third base. You have kids that play four or five games there. We have multiple teams that use two pitchers. Well, when the pitchers switch, they play a different position. So can you really consider somebody that played five or six or eight games at second base a second baseman? Or, if they split their time between three positions, which a lot of kids do, what position do they play? And you look at a kid like the returning player of the year last year, and Gina Wright, she plays outfield. She's played second base. She filled in and played shortstop a little bit. What position would you consider somebody like that that's played part of a season one place because of, because of pitching matchups, because of injury? So I think that makes it difficult to go by position. Just kind of running down the list, you go to the outfield, and I think you've got I think Kelly Fox is an outstanding outfielder at Westfall. Really good arm, good speed. Lexi Cooper at Southeastern does a really nice job in the outfield. Saw her make some fantastic catches, and she's got a nice quick release as well. And, you know, back to that conversation, what position are they? I mean, it seems like I've seen Lacey Stanforth play probably 8 to 10 games over the past 3 or 4 years, and sometimes she plays short, sometimes she's playing center. I know she moves around, so what position do you consider her? And then does that limit your view? So, you know, Katie Unger, I thought, did some nice things in the outfield for Zane Trace. Sticking with Zane Trace, the Swag Hammer girl is a solid shortstop. Morgan Merritt, you know, played on the left side of the infield last year at Piketon. She plays first base and pitches for the most part this year. So, again, you know, it's hard to decide, you know, what positions they actually are. And I had an intriguing conversation with somebody like, well, do you consider if Adrian Dunn and Elena Lytle aren't in your top few all league spots as a pitcher, well, then do you consider them the second baseman, third baseman, or infield, or what have you? Because they're both outstanding infielders. But, you know, if they have to pitch, they have to pitch. That may not even be their best position. And you could say that about a lot of kids throughout the league because, you know, in high school, you go with what your team needs, and that's the most important thing. So, you know, all in all, I think it's neat to talk about. And, you know, we were able to run through about 20 names there pretty quickly. You know, and I think Erin Riley's right in that same spot. I don't think I mentioned her before. You know, shoot, she's pitched some big games. She's played infield. She's done whatever she's needed to do. So, I think it's just awfully hard to distinguish position by position. And the only thing that you could do if you were going to consider tweaking the way you look at things is to separate the pitchers and, you know, maybe name your top two or three, even four pitchers, and then go with your, you know, next best, you know, 16, 18 players, whatever it might be.
Well, Jeremy, I think you did an incredible job there. Just that's why I was just kind of curious to listen a little bit and just hearing all the names. I love the way you're able to break that down. And I guess it kind of makes the point for me in terms of I just don't think it works when you're talking basically a Division III level school type of conference. Yeah, you have a couple schools a little bit bigger, one a little bit smaller, but basically a Division III conference, you're just going to have your athletes asked to do a lot of different things. And in a lot of cases, they're going to be asked to do things that maybe, like you said, not, you know, going to showcase their best talent. So I think you're spot on there. I think it's just it's a part of it. And as you've heard me say so many times, I don't want to get onto the soapbox again tonight, but, you know, our league in baseball, and I think softball would be just that much more true in terms of until we learn to separate pitching and the other aspects of the game, I just think pitching is going to continue to dominate the all-league list, and I don't know that there's any way around it until our league's willing to change. So I guess, Jeremy, what I would like to do here is go on to extra innings. Jeremy, I will return to the fill-in-the-blank format this week. Jeremy, I'll let you go first with a softball answer, and I will follow with a baseball response. We will then take some time to discuss our answers at the end. So here we go. Let's go to extra innings.
In terms of players, the thing that has played out as the biggest surprise has been blank.
Kayla Newland's impact for Paint Valley.
I'll say the youthful performance.
One fan in the inbox wants to know about SVC ballparks. The nicest field in the SVC, in your opinion, belongs to blank.
Well, last year, 2 years ago, whenever we had this question before, you know, I played diplomatic and went Piketon, but I think I have to say Unieta.
Well, on the baseball side, it's a no-brainer. I'd have to say it's Unieta.
To put a cap on the 2014 regular season, the headline that tells the entire story would be blank.
How far can we go?
Running away from parody. Jeremy, I'll take you right back to your first answer there. Obviously, the Newland girl at Paint Valley has caught some attention. I know she's had several votes in our inbox here lately for our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week. Had the back-to-back performances of 20 strikeouts. You definitely jumped onto the scene on us here a little bit this year, and I know it's got a lot of people excited about moving forward into the tournament. As you've mentioned throughout there, I know Aaron Riley's done some pitching as well. Aaron's had a tremendous year at the plate. I know you mentioned Newland a little bit, being the newcomer, if you will. Just talk to us a little bit about the way you think she's impacted just SVC softball in general.
Well, when you consider, I mean, what do we always talk about? We talk about how dominant some of the pitching performances have been. You know, you look at all the games where, you know, Gino has thrown shutouts and winning one-run games with very few runs being scored. You know, Brooke Blevins went through a period of 8 or 9 league games where she didn't give up a run. You know, when you have pitching like that and somebody just gets your attention, you know, that can't be ignored when you're talking about a leg as heavy in pitching as we have. And for her to come in and really essentially flip-flop Paint Valley's record. And again, it's not just what she does physically. It's the fact that just having that type of athlete allows all their other experienced players to settle in and be more comfortable. Whereas I thought in the past they were trying to patch things together night to night to figure out a way to compete. And they had that just a little bit of solidarity to their lineup and versatility that they hadn't had before. And you see the difference with their record. So it's not just the pitching impact, but it's just the ability to move people around to become better defensively and deeper with their lineup.
Well, I talk youthful movement here because I guess when I look at Adina, I know I talked a lot about their upperclassmen with Harper, Shepherd, and Kunkel, but make no mistake about it, the depth of their sophomore class, Corey and Thomas and company, just so talented. Even a couple of freshmen there with Free and so forth. Just a lot of ability there. I know the McFaddens are sophomores at Paint Valley. You get the Davis kid at Zane Trace is really good. Uniota has Casey White as a freshman's had just a super year. He was a no-brainer for me, at least, in terms of the all-league selections. And then the Edler kid behind the plate, just a freshman, I believe. And then Dias, sophomore, Southeast. So just a lot of youthful performance throughout the league that I think is going to set the league up for its next batch of stars, if you will. I know we just graduated a bunch of them here in the last year, and a lot of times you have to be introduced to new stars, and I think we've done that, and I think the league's in good hands moving forward. Now, we both agreed on Uniota, and yeah, I guess I'll start baseball here real quick, Jeremy. In terms of ballparks, you know, each place has some things I think that's pretty solid. You know, with Adina, I think they've done some things over the years, to some improvements to the dugouts. The playing surface is pretty solid. There's just some things in the ballpark, the surrounding area, I'm not crazy about. I know Huntington's made some improvements here and there to their playing surface. I know a lot of people aren't crazy about their dugout setup up there. Paint Valley's made some tremendous improvements to the ballpark. If I'm being quite honest, the playing surface is awful. It's something we've got to get to work on. You know, Piketon's got a pretty nice facility. Southeastern, both those facilities, fairly new, and they're still coming along. But, you know, Westfall did some nice things to their playing surface this year. That's an improved facility. And then Zane Trace, Coach Allen, always keeps it in pretty solid shape. But I think with Uniota, you're just talking about the total combination. You're talking about the surrounding area. You're talking about the friendliest place to watch a game. You got your scoreboard operation. You got your press box. You got your PA system. You got a lot of different things. So I just think overall for me, if I'm taking the entire ballpark and overall playing surface and the way the game is played there, I'd have to say Uniota. Obviously, you agree there in softball. Maybe talk us through an overview of some of the softball fields around the league that brought you to that decision.
Well, I actually like the way you approach that, you know, going all the way around and some of the reasons that, you know, lead you to Uniota. And one thing that I add to that is the ability to, you know, comfortably watch baseball and softball without them interfering in any way with each other. which is not always easy to do.
Interesting, yeah.
And I think the one thing that you see, that's another reason that I kind of like Piketon. You know, it's just 5-6 steps, and you walk up the bank, and you can watch the baseball game, and still look down and see the softball game. Yet there's really no opportunity for any interference, whether it's somebody warming up, foul balls, home runs, anything like that could potentially affect play. Similar to Paint Valley, I think it's a little more difficult to watch from the outfield for whatever reason, as far as transitioning baseball to softball. But there are a lot of spots in the outfield that are nice to watch at Paint Valley and around home plate. It's a little harder to see on the sides, and it's just interesting because, you know, at the bottom line is most schools have to put their fields where they can put their fields. Right. You know, I'm sure Zane Trace wouldn't choose to have their field at the top of that hill. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you do with what you have, and sometimes you got to squeeze them together. You know, Edina's is similar, not quite the mountain that Zane Trace is, but, you know, you climb up there and a lot of times if it's muddy or wet or whatever, it's not as easily accessible for, maybe some folks that, you know, can't get up and walk as well through the mud and things like that. So I try to keep that in mind too. You know, accessibility, is it a long walk from the parking lot? Is it easy to get to the restroom? Is it easy to get to concession to get from point A to point B? Just fan friendly overall. And, you know, I think you mentioned it before. You've got some fields that are relatively young, like Southeastern's, and they've got some opportunity there where they have a lot of area around where they could really do some nice things and you know, improve the overall layout, but that just takes time. You know, it takes time. It takes some mature growth, and it's not going to happen overnight.
No, I agree. And then the final one here, we just talked about putting a little cap here on the regular season. I talked about the running away from parity because I just think it describes, you know, what Edina's done with the rest of the league beating up on each other. And it kind of goes into our tournament shows as well. I guess before we take a final look into the inbox, Jeremy, just maybe put a cap on softball there with your final headline.
Well, you know, I'm kind of building off the momentum we created from some of the feedback earlier in the show, talking about, you know, the softball and the potential success in the tournament. You know, I didn't realize when we spoke before, when we were previewing the tournament, I didn't look far enough to see that actually in Division III, Bloom Carroll goes to the Northwest region. So all three of our teams, not only from the Southeast District, have the opportunity to win a district championship and go to the regionals, but they don't have to go play Bloom Carroll either, which would give a team from the Southeast a really, really great opportunity to make it to the Final Four. So when you consider that, when you consider Newland's impact in Division IV, and really, when you look at Unyoda's draw in Division II, you know, although there's some tough games, I think we have the potential for legitimately four of our teams to be playing in the regional. Now, do I think we'll have four? Not necessarily, but there's definitely the potential there if things go right and you catch the right breaks and you know, you get the timely hits. We could be playing for another couple weeks.
Well, fans, we want to hear your response to all these things here on SVC Sports Talk. Let us know on Facebook or Twitter. We're SVC Sports Zone on both of those, as well as our inbox, admin1@svcsportszone.com. Or, as I said earlier, call us at 740-569-3254. Just wait for the beep there. Leave us a message. Gives you about a minute or so to leave your thought or your comment. Love to hear from you here on SVC Sports Talk. But, you know, Jeremy, just before we get out of here this week, we want to take a final look into the inbox as we always do, and it's about that time of track. I know this week we get going out at Huntington, the SVC meet. I guess that, you know, we've talked about this before over the last couple of years. The track seems to be such a secretive thing. You have a lot of people, a lot of coaches, maybe they won't show their hand, if you will, in terms of exactly who's going to run what or how it's going to line up, or you'll see a result from a certain meet. But you know, when you really start to understand how track scored, they'll say, well, these couple teams weren't there, and this could move points around. And I guess as I look, you look at what Unioto boys have done over the years. You look at Zane Trace girls. I'm seeing a lot of different individuals around the league that I think are going to make for some challenging races. Maybe in the end, the depth and the overall enrollment numbers are going to be too much to overcome with those bigger schools and the team standings. But I do, Jeremy, see some individual things that jump out at me. Before we maybe break down the individuals, just give us your overview on what you're maybe looking forward to, just as an SVC sports fan, as the track plays its SVC championship out this week.
Well, I mean, I've been impressed as I follow some of the numbers with the sprinters, and I do think there's some opportunities there, for some good races. And, it seems like, and again, it's hard to compare apples to apples, but there's been some times where, like the Unioto girls show signs that they more than have the capability to sneak in and win a championship if everything falls. So, as always, we have great distance runners that are really competing with each other. I even looked at some of the junior high from the SVC meet. You have some really good distance runners and some good sprinters coming as well. And you look at some of those times, there's going to be some kids that make an impact right away. And I think we're really on the verge of just continuing with the tradition that we have of really next level type runners, whether it be distance, whether it be, we've got some field events where obviously like Trevor Detain's, breaking records every time he steps out, and a guy like Walt Petzl has really good numbers, but he's throwing against Detain every night. So, I mean, you're talking about guys that are some of the best in Ohio. From the field events to the relays, there have been some good numbers with the relays. It just seems to me like, I think you've got to take a look at when you get the results of Monday night and really look to Friday. And, there's not near as much baseball and softball going on by then. It'd be a great opportunity to check out some of the fantastic athletes, because it doesn't seem to matter whether it's boys, whether it's girls, sprinters, distance, field events. You're gonna see some kids that are going to impress you.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jeremy, because as you look through a lot of the results that come in, you see the depth of the schools that people are talking about. But you see some of these distance runners, names well from the fall, when you see Wolf at Zane Trace, or you see a Johnson at Unioto. But what I think's really interesting about track, you also have that dominance in the throwing. I mean, you talk about Battalion Baker on the girls' side just throws it out there ridiculous some ridiculous distances when it comes to the distance between her and second place. And but what I think's intriguing is how some coaches do a pretty good job to put their kids in the best position to succeed. Because, what I see a lot of times is, Adina will take some of their best athletes and they'll mix them into some relays. And so where Adina might not be able to compete with some of the bigger enrollment schools, you'll see Adina take, the Huttons and Clarkson and some other kids, and they'll be really successful. It wouldn't surprise me a bit to see them maybe have four kids make the banquet off of a relay team. I know Coach Holbert always has some nice individuals. Again, Paint Valley is not going to be able to compete from a team standpoint, with the top dogs. But again, you're going to see a handful of kids, and he's going to put those kids into positions to do some things on the girls' side. And, then I see some of the same things on the boys' side with Adina, with Southeastern. So, the bigger schools in the end, you're probably going to see the Unioto Zane Trace names toward the top there. But I'm always intrigued how the Adinas and the Paint Valleys and the Southeasterns, even Huntington, how they do such a good job of putting some of their best athletes in the best positions to be successful, to be honored at the highest level that they can be honored at. I would even throw in, I know we had an athlete of the week here a couple weeks back. I know Piketon even has some nice athletes with the Reed girl and Farmer on the boys' side. So I would encourage people to go to our SVC track page if you haven't. Check out the results. I know we have the Ross County meet on there, the Greenfield invite, the Vinton County invite, Southeastern invite. I'm still hoping to get a couple more posted. And then, of course, we'll get the SVC meet covered here later this week. But I guess, Jeremy, it's one of those things. It's you know, sometimes even when you know, we talked about this, I think, last year, even when you know, okay, Dotillion's probably going to win this or Baker's going to win this, there can still be that exciting factor in terms of, well, how far are they going to throw it?
Right, exactly right. I mean, is Taylor Baker going to, you know, how close is she going to get in the discus to 140? And you know, Trevor Dotillion, is, you know, is he going to throw it 185? It's more with them, or you're watching how many records are they going to set.
Right.
And I think there's, you know, you can look at the second place and those and think, man, those are pretty good. And then you're like, wow, it's just unbelievable some of the things that they accomplish. And, you know, the other thing that I would like to close with, the one thing I notice is you talk about the dynamic of track with the individual athletes. Even if you don't have the depth of the team to compete at that level, you still have, it seems like, you know, in certain events, you've got a few kids from Westfall, you've got a few kids from Paint Valley, a few kids from Pike. It just seems like there's a nice mix, and there's really a lot of talent in different places. And it's interesting the way the coaches will match things up to give them their best chance for individual success if maybe the team success isn't possible.
Well, I agree. And then you see that into the postseason as well. So, there's a lot to be excited about there. It just seems like, you know, once we split out into some different divisions in track, is just like in other sports, it seems like we really put some kids on out there into the postseason. And it seems like we're still talking SVC track late into May, sometimes early June. So the best of luck to those athletes. Look forward to covering that here on SVC SportsZone.com. And we'll get those on there later this weekend for certain. So on that note, I tell you what, SVC fans, we again say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers across the SVC, and we hope you will join us again next week. So for Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for Bruce Knox and DBK Media Services, and for all the other great sponsors on the website, for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.